You cut it short. We're just starting to enjoy. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Sing that song. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Amen. Amen. We praise the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy. We praise Him today, for tomorrow we might be crying. So let's enjoy while we can. Amen. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Amen. 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 Let's change the order. Open our hearts and get ready for His word. Amen. Let's sing that song. Father of life, seated on a throne. And if we have time, we'll go into in His presence. Amen. Because that's where we all belong. Amen. How many want to go in His presence? If you don't, go, go. Go and say no. Yes. Father of life, seated on your throne. It's only by your mercy we are saved. Lord, Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry, out your name, our Shaddai. Provides our needs. Hallelujah. Father of God, never failing to forgive. Thank you, Lord. Each moment is a gift from your throne. Oh, we give it to you, Lord. We'll only here to tell the world about your grace until the day you take us all away. Oh, we cry. So we cry out your name. How should I? Jesus Christ, oh, in your presence, in your presence, that's why I am strong in your presence, oh, oh my God, in your presence. In your presence, oh God. Let's sing that one more time. In your presence. I want to go. Hallelujah. I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow. And I feel on your own. I want to hide near the blazing fires. Cannot overflow. In your presence, oh God. dreams of darkness come alive. In your presence, oh God. Thank you. praise. That's what I'm longing for. Heart that follows up to me. Oh, up your heart. Up your heart. That's what I'm longing for. That's all I'm longing for, my Lord. Oh, what school we started.
We still and one more time, be still, be still, be still, and know that I am. Oh, be still, and know that I am gone. Be still, and know.
Was asking for prayer, traveling to Brazil next Wednesday for a couple of weeks. Brother Vladimir is in Cork due to work this morning. Sister Comfort's thanking the Lord for journey mercies from Italy. And Sister Lydia's grandmother passed away, so we want to keep the family in prayer. Oh, Father, we've been singing about be still and know that thou art God. Oh, Father, one word that you could say is far more than anybody else could say. Father, all that we could do upon this day and all that we'd accumulate, Lord, in our mortality. Father, just one thing that you would do would have just eternal value above all that we could do. So that's how we bring ourselves unto you. Father, these petitions, our brother Nato, Lord, bless him as he'd go. Give him traveling mercies, Lord. Bless him while he's there. Bring him back with a blessing, we'd ask and pray. Brother Vladimir, we pray for him. Be with him down there in Cork. Watch over him while he does his work, Father. We thank you for traveling mercies for Sister Comfort. We thank you for bringing our sisters back from Romania. We thank you for the things that you do. Lord, please comfort our sister at this time. We pray for her grandmother. We pray concerning that, Lord. You work, you lead, you guide, Father. Be in all of those things, we'd pray. Father, trusting in you that her soul was ready. Lord, that she's gone to rest at this time. And Father, you've left us now, Father, to finish our course. So help us this day. Lord, as you open up your word, bless it unto us. Father, we want to fellowship with you. Lord, we've come. We thank you for song worship. We thank you for items that have been sung. We thank you for Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for all that has gone before. And now we're coming unto you once again, Father, to sit at your feet, to dine as your guests. How blessed these pilgrims are. Bless your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's open Judges chapter 6. Would you greet you this morning, saints? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good to be in his house. You always know you're getting down a certain virtuous subject when the devil gives you a hard time. The devil's been giving me a hard time the last few days. But it's good. You know, it's good. When sometimes you really start to get into his territory, and you start to give him a little bit of a kicking, you've got to expect him to start kicking back. You know, it really is the principle. Let's read Judges chapter 6. Let's read verse 8 first of all. Verse 7 and verse 8. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you've not obeyed my voice. So the prophet says, first the Lord, when the people cried unto the Lord, he sent his prophet to them. Yes. Yeah? He sent a message through the prophet. And then in verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Then verse 12 says who it is. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, this is fellowship between Gideon and the angel of the Lord. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? So he's just quoting the prophet's message that has been preaching to them in verse 8, 9, and 10. He's quoting it back and saying, you just sent us a prophet who told us these things, but where do we see it? We want to see these things. He says, where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Hallelujah. Have not I sent thee? Let's also read Exodus chapter 23. What the Lord said in Exodus 23 verse 20, speaking to Moses. Exodus 23 from verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee, amen, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and Canaanites, the Hivites and Jebusites, and I will cut them off. May the Lord bless his word sent. You may be seated. Let us speak a little bit here about the angel of the Lord. Amen. Who is the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord is the angel of his presence. The angel of God's presence. The angel of the Lord is also the great covenant angel. Amen. And whenever the angel of the Lord comes, things change. Amen. That's the great change. We can see it in the life of Gideon. We can see it in the life of Moses. That when the angel of the Lord himself comes on the scene, it brings such a great change. Amen. People may before have known the presence of the Lord. You might have known the blessing of the Lord. You know, the Lord may have worked on your behalf in many different ways. But when the angel of the Lord comes, it brings a great blessing. It brings a great difference. And this angel was sent, the Lord said to Moses, to keep them in the way. Amen. So he was firstly sent to deliver them, to bring deliverance to them. And once deliverance had come to them, then now came his voice. He says, obey his voice. And then he says, he will take you in to possess your inheritance. Yes. So there was a coming out and there was a going in, which is orders redemption. So whenever the Lord wants to deal with his covenant people, there comes those junctions in time where, you know, religion has done its best, you've done your best, I've done my best, and the devil does his best. And you get yourself in a situation like the children of Israel, you're in bondage. It seems things just can't break. It seems you just can't move beyond that situation that you find yourself in. But God is gracious, because God has the visitation of his angel. the angel, and he says, I've placed my name in him. So the very essence, the very attributes of who God is, was in this angel. And when this angel would come on the scene, firstly, he would minister deliverance. He would set the captives free. That's why Jesus, who was the angel made flesh, he was the angel Lord made flesh. Now the very name of God was in him. He says, I've come in my Father's name. You find Jesus says, you know, the Lord has anointed me. Yeah? He says, to preach deliverance to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So the angel Lord, when he came in Jesus, he came to preach the year of Jubilee. No, so the coming of Jesus, when he came to Israel, if they could have recognized it at that time, the Son of Man, that was a jubilee to them. That when his presence was there, nothing could stand in his presence. Now friends, the devil, he can fight against many things. But one thing the devil can never fight against is the angel of the Lord. He's never ever has overcome the angel, and he never has. Right from the days when there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angel, who's the angel of the Lord, fought against the devil, Lucifer and his angels, and cast them out. Amen. It's always like that. The personal presence of the angel of the Lord will cast the devil out every time. Amen. If he comes near and you and I recognize him, we make him welcome, we call him on the scene and he draws near. His personal presence, nothing can stand in the presence of the angel of the Lord. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, we can have just the normal blessing of the Lord, and you know, you can go along with afflictions and have the blessing of the Lord. You can have the blessing of the Lord and have different obstacles in your way that you can't seem to get through. You can have the blessing, the anointing of the Lord in your life, and you know, the Lord's speaking to you and the Lord's answering your prayers. But you still have these certain things inside of your life. These certain challenges inside of your life that you just can't seem to break through. There just seems to be resistance. There just seems to be something that, you know, just your prayer, the best of your prayer, the best of what you can raise up to, doesn't seem to have what it takes to overcome that situation. Amen. That's when it needs the angel of the Lord. That's when it needs the visitation of the angel of the Lord. Because the angel of the Lord makes all of the difference. You know, I was reading in this little booklet that Brother Bosworth wrote about the prophet, you know, called Gifts of Healing Plus. I'm sure many saints have seen it. You can get it on the internet. But it was written in 1950, and it was speaking about the years from 1946 to 1950, since the angel of the Lord visited the prophet. Because whenever the angel himself comes down, whenever this, the covenant angel comes down, God has a specific purpose. And things are going to take place far beyond what's taken place before. The Brother Bosworth said at the beginning of it, says, I've been praying for the sick for 40 years. He said, I've seen the Lord do a lot of things. He says, but there's nothing that I've seen that can compare with this ministry, which came through the coming of the angel. And then he says something, and he reads Exodus 23, where we've just read. God said to Moses, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring you to the place that I've prepared. Friends, that's an important thing. You know, the angel was sent to keep us in the way. You know, so we've just got to keep a certain kind of a respect, a certain kind of a reverence, a certain kind of an approach. We don't put our own ideas into these things. We don't try to inject human program into these things, because God didn't send in an Exodus move. God never intended for the human aspect to play any part. The best thing we can do is get ourselves out of the way as far as we possibly can, because in the evening time when he sends his angel, when he commissions the prophet, when he commissions Moses, when he comes down to Gideon, when he comes down in 1946 to the prophet, there's a specific purpose. He wants to deliver his people from something, and he wants to bring his people into an inheritance, because he's the covenant angel. He is the angel that comes to activate the covenant. He is the angel that comes to, as a mediator, standing in a sense between God and humanity, to bring to pass all that the covenant has promised. And we'll see there's certain things that are required, why the angel Lord needs to come. You know, in order for us to fully enter into what the covenant has for us, We need this presence of this angel. You know, just the normal presence of the Lord is a blessing, friends. You can find the presence of the Lord in denominations today when you go, and it's the truth. You can find people anointed all over today. I mean, there's anointed ones in the end time. But there's this specific presence of the angel. Amen. That is for the covenant people. Amen. It's the covenant angel that comes at specific times and junctures. Yes. You know, when the children of God, the covenant children, they can't go any further. No, they're in the Red Sea, or they're in bondage in Egypt, and there's nothing more that you can do. This is the grace of God to you, and it's the grace of God to us that He sends His angel at those kind of times. His angel comes in those kind of seasons. And then Brother Boswell says, speaking of this angel that came to Moses, he says, this is exactly what God has done for Brother Branham.
Amen.
He does not begin to pray for the healing of the afflicted in body, in the healing line each night, until God anoints him for the operation of the gift. And until he is conscious of the presence of the angel with him on the platform.
Amen.
Friends, that makes all the difference.
Yes.
That's how people get out of wheelchairs. That's how the blind see. That's how the deaf hear. That's how you overcome things that you couldn't overcome before. It's not just normal prayer. It's not just normal, our normal message Christianity. It's the presence of the angel. It's when he comes in his season, his time of visitation by his grace. And he comes and he troubles the waters at those kind of times. And there's a certain people that will be there at that time that will recognize that and will take advantage now of that visitation. And that's now what Brother Bosworth could straight away see. And then he speaks the next paragraph called Looking at the Unseen. And he says, when the gift is operating, we know this, you read it many times. Brother Branham is the most sensitive person to the presence and working of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And to spiritual realities of any person I've ever known. You know, so the coming of the angel, what would it do? It would open up spiritual realities. It would like bring down another dimension that, you know, you've been working in a certain realm of the Spirit, but the coming of the angel, the Lord would open things up.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, the kingdom of darkness would be exposed.
Amen.
You know, all that the enemy was would be unveiled.
Amen.
You might have wondered for years, but why do I feel like this inside of my life? Or why do I have this nervousness? Or why has this happened to me? Or why does this happen to me? Then you would come and you would stand in the presence of the angel. You would come now before the prophet, and that gift would activate, and the angel would speak through the prophet, and everything would be unveiled.
Amen.
No, the deception of the enemy would be unveiled. The lies of the devil would be unveiled. All that Satan had been trying to do to try to keep his kingdom established inside of your life, which is a kingdom of deception. It's a kingdom of lies. It's a kingdom without a foundation. To the sons and daughters of God, as we said on Friday, Satan has no legal right. He has no legal authority to build anything inside of your life. He has no legal right to possess anything in the life of a believer. But he comes and he works in the shadows. You know, and he encroaches now upon our inheritance. And he takes advantage of our ignorance. And then you find all of a sudden you've got these things inside of your life. You've got sicknesses that you can't overcome. Depression, oppression, you know, questions and all these different things that you go through. And it takes this opening of this dimension.
Amen.
That when people would come into the presence of the angel themselves, they had prayed, they got other ministers to pray for them. But when it came to these kind of situations, friends, it needed something different.
Yes.
It needed the covenant angel to come. And when he would come, he would unveil. And then all of a sudden, you would see the devil for what he was.
Yes.
It would become real to people standing in the presence of the angel. You would see this is the devil. This is the devil, and he's lying to me, because when the angel comes, when you come into that covenant presence, you start, like Gideon, to realize who you are. You start to realize, but hey, we don't have to be beaten down like this. We don't have to allow the enemy to take advantage of us year by year by year by year to come and take our harvest, to come and take our blessing. You know, Gideon was still in the covenant land. He was still in the message. You know, he was still keeping himself going, still keeping his family going. But God had far more in his heart for Gideon. and for the children of Israel. And when they started to cry out to the Lord now, God sent them a prophet, and the prophet came and preached them and says, do away with these false gods. Now stop worshiping these other gods. Stop doing these things that keep my presence from among you. And then Gideon, now being a sincere man, he was threshing and meditating on what the prophet had said. And he started to think to himself, but why are these things happening? Now he couldn't reconcile it. You know why he couldn't reconcile it? Because there's certain things that you're not supposed to reconcile. A believer should never reconcile himself to allowing the devil in his life. This should be a question that always troubles us. Just say, but if I'm a child of God, why is this happening to me? It's good that you must be troubled by that question. Don't evade that question. Don't try to get somebody to answer that question in some way to appease you or give you an answer that will appease you. No, the angel is the answer to the question. He has the answer to the question. He is the answer to the question. And that's why, friends, when we have these things in our lives that we can't answer, it's good. It's good. The Lord allows us to get perplexed. The Lord allows us to get frustrated. The Lord allows us to get to the end of ourselves, that we're questioning and saying, but hey, if God is with me, why is this happening inside of my life? Because God is trying to get you to a situation where you're approaching it the right way. Where now this covenant and the promises of the covenant become very important to you. More important than your job. More important than anything else inside of your life. And then when you start having respect, and I start having respect to the covenant, that we start looking at the covenant, the promises, the way that we should, then he comes down to activate the covenant. Then the angel comes down. The angel of the covenant now comes and says, that's what I was waiting for. This kind of reverence, this kind of a respect, this kind of an approach, this kind of a seeking me with all your heart. Then he has his season that he comes down in, and you take advantage of that season, and those questions are going to be answered by him. Because you're going to see it doesn't have to be like that. It's not supposed to be like that. But he's the only one that can make the difference. But many, many times we go for long seasons of time, like Gideon, allowing these things inside of our life. Now we allow the kingdom of darkness. You know, we pray, we go against something for a short season, then it's still there, and we pray again after all. We just say, okay, let me just continue on with life. I don't think the Lord wants it to be like that. There's these seasons of grace, surely, saints, when God comes down in seasons of grace. There's seasons of visitation. You know, when God comes down in a season of visitation, that you might have been lying 38 years on your cot. Yeah? And then there comes just a certain season of visitation when the angel passes your way. And all of a sudden, that thing that's bothered you for 38 years, you don't see it anymore. It's not in your life anymore. But it's only the angel. It was the angel in Jesus who passed that man's way. It was a predestination. It was God's provided time. It was God's provided way of deliverance for that man. And all that man had to do was respond. When Jesus says, take up your bed, he just had to take up his bed. But it was the presence of the angel that made this difference. And that's what Brother Bosworth picked up. He says he doesn't begin to pray for the healing of the afflicted until he's conscious of the presence of the angel with him on the platform. Then he says, but when he's conscious of this presence, he seems to break through the veil of the flesh into the world of spirit. Ah, friends, that makes a difference. When the angel came to Gideon, he started to understand what heaven thought about him. He was looking at himself. The devil was lying to him all the time. It's like, are you really a child of God? If you're really a child of God, why is this happening in your life all the time? But when this particular visitation of this angel happened inside of his life, our friends, everything changed. Because all of a sudden, he started to have a spiritual reality in the presence of the angel. He had a spiritual reality of who he was in the sight of God. That's the first time Gideon had ever started to even contemplate that, when the angel said, thou mighty man of valor. But the devil had been telling him all along, you're not a mighty man of valor. You can't change this situation. Best just submit. Just accept the situation inside of your life. But at the coming of the angel, something started to stir. And Gideon now started to look at things. And there came an opening up of spiritual realities to him. then he started to see himself the way God saw him, and he started to see the enemy the way that God saw him as well. He didn't see this enemy as this great, you know, foe that couldn't be conquered. He started to see, but no, I'm a covenant son of God. I'm a covenant child of God. I'm in my covenant inheritance. This was given by the covenant angel himself. This is my harvest. This is my land. This is my family. I don't have to put up with this anymore. There had to come a time when it came to that. Now, friends, we can try to work ourselves into it. We can try to use psychology. We can try to use the power of positive thinking. It's not going to change the situation. It's the visitation of the angel. It's the presence of the angel himself when he comes down. And you recognize in those kind of seasons that he wants to do something. You know, and that's the time where you can step in. So the prophet says, Brother Bosworth says, and he seems to be struck through and through with the sense of the unseen. Paul wrote, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So friends, the reality, the spiritual reality of the things that are not seen, which are the real things, starts to become real when the angel comes down. That's what it did when it came down to the prophet. In the message, Arrow of God's Deliverance, the prophet says, he sends the Holy Spirit to energize the word when he falls into it. When the word's being preached and the Holy Spirit brings the word, he energizes that. Flashes the same light of God's blessed promise. Then when God's word, his promise became enlightened by the presence of the angel of the Lord, tried to stop Moses now. That made all the difference to Moses at the burning bush. Is that those promises, that word which he had read, which he had believed all that time, like we've seen in these weeks gone by, but in the presence of the angel of the Lord, those words were now activated. They were energized now. All of a sudden, things were different to Moses. In that presence, that's what made all the difference. That's what we were singing about. In his presence, that's where I'm strong. In his presence, you're a mighty army. In his presence, that's where we belong. But now when you get into these other situations, we allow the devil to come. You know, we're not so serious about the covenant, so God's not so serious about the covenant either. You know, sometimes he allows us to get to these situations that we can't go on anymore. He allows you to get to a situation that, you know, no matter how much you try to use your human ingenuity, no matter how much you try to use human reasoning, use all the sincerity that you've got, you keep getting yourself back to the same stage. And there's a purpose in him doing that. Is that he's the only one that can come to deliver and bring us out of those situations, because his coming changes everything. It always does. His coming is for a purpose. Things start to really unveil themselves at those times. And that's when you start to realize that the battle is the Lord's. Because that's what David realized. We saw it on Friday. David realized it doesn't matter how big this obstacle is. Doesn't matter how long he's been making his boast, 40 days here. We are the armies of the living God. You see, this man had been in the presence of the angel, David. He knew who he was. And he knew it doesn't matter what this enemy is. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The prophet said it was real to David. This is an uncircumcised Philistine. This is the covenant land for the circumcised children of God. This is for those that are children of the covenant. He has no place here. He's uncircumcised. That was a real revelation. And that was real. It was a spiritual reality to David. Now when he came that day to the rest of the armies of Israel, it wasn't real to them at that time. No, they just got to a stage they started to accept now. The enemy coming and making his boast day by day by day. They'd accepted it for 40 days. 40 days, morning by morning. Here came Goliath and he made his boast. Yeah, and he says, give me a man. Who is this going to rise up to the challenge? And there was nobody that would rise up to the challenge. Because you can't rise up to the challenge in yourself. He's got to energize something. He's got to quicken something. You've got to, your soul has got to come into the presence of something. And that makes all the difference. And the devil knows that makes the difference. He knows that. In the message, leading of the Spirit of God, the prophet's in a prayer line. And he says, I'm not beside myself, no. But such a feeling to know that now, right here, stands Jesus, the one who's raised from the dead.
Hallelujah.
So that same Jesus, before he was made flesh, that's the angel of the covenant.
Yes.
He was standing right there on the prophet's right hand. He says, the one who loves you so much, he's speaking for me now. I've been preaching about him, but he's talking now. That's him. Then he says to the lady who's there in the prayer line, says, excuse me, lady, I just have to follow the way the Spirit leads. Now, he has a dark streak coming from this woman to the other one. What is it? It's a devil, because he knows his time has come. When the angel comes, friends, the devil knows his time has come. He knows it. He knows he has no answer. He knows he is no match for the presence of the angel of the Lord. It's impossible for the devil to overcome in the presence of the angel of the Lord. That's why the prophet says, I've made the boast many times that anything that comes by the way of this prayer line, yeah? As long as the angel is here, it's going to be exposed and it's not going to be able to stand. It says your unbelief may bring it back on you when you go out there. Yeah? Because Jesus said to them, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you.
Amen.
He says, but in the presence of the angel, it has to go. He knows that, friends. He knows, the devil knows better than us, just how powerful the covenant presence of the angel is, the angel of the Lord. The prophet says to the lady, you're extremely nervous, aren't you, lady? Satan told you you were going to lose your mind if you didn't get over it. But he lied to you. Oh, friends, that's when you start seeing things the way that they really are.
Amen.
You know, she must have been troubled. She was nervous, thinking, I'm going to lose my mind. And there was this dark shadow following her. She was a believer. She was a Christian. She had a redeemed soul. Satan had no access to her soul, but he had access to her mind. He had access to her body. And he was coming now to take advantage now, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. She didn't realize, she didn't know, she didn't have a reality of her rights at that time, her spiritual rights and authority. So the devil came and lied to her.
Amen.
And he stayed there. He took advantage and, as an opportunist of that situation.
Amen.
But when he came into the presence of the angel, it became very clear.
Amen.
And then she started to see the devil as a liar. Yeah? And the devil started to realize that his time had come.
Amen.
That he couldn't keep it on like that.
Amen.
Then the prophet now says, the little lady is sitting right down there. Second one, right back there. She's bothered with nervousness too, isn't that right? See what I mean? This demon knows. If that woman will halfway believe that Jesus Christ the Son of God is the Son of God, and that I'm his prophet, that'll have to leave her. If she can halfway believe. Because what was the commission that the angel gave to the prophet? If you can get the people to believe, you. If you be sincere and get the people to believe. That's how many times he had said under the anointing, he had said, do you believe me to be God's prophet? Then he had catch himself and he'd say, I'm just saying that because the angel said, if you can get the people to believe you. You see? So when people realize this is a prophet, yeah? This is a prophet who's been commissioned by an angel. This is a gift that's been ministered by the angel of the Lord for the deliverance of his people. And the people would approach like that, with that faith, to have confidence in that. And the prophet was just sincere. If you are sincere, yeah, and you get the people to believe you. Our friends, why do you think the devil fights against this message the way that he is now? Why do you think the devil invented social media the way that he did? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's where you find all these lies and all these fabrications, all these half-truths are sent out. And what is it doing? The devil knows, friends, this message. He has no power against this message. He knows that. Like we said on Friday, right back from the prophet's campaigns, the devil remembers every one of those campaigns. He remembers Jonesboro, Arkansas. He remembers Louisville. He remembers all the St. Louis. He knows all of those campaigns. He knows how his kingdom was crushed and defeated. And he had no answer. So what does he want to do? Get the people to disbelieve. Get the people to disbelieve in an age now when we need that covenant angel more than ever before. In an age when there's such unbelief, when there's sicknesses and all these things rising up, and all of the spiritual side, the insanity this world's going into. Our friends, don't let the devil get you to disbelieve. Don't let the devil allow you to disbelieve, because he knows what he's doing. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And the greatest lie is 99% the truth, friends. But there's an agenda behind that lie. There might be a lot of truth that's said, but the aim and the motive, what is the aim and the motive behind it? That shows it's the devil. Because he can take some truth and he mix it up with this, but what is his motive? What is his agenda? To keep you back from the very thing that will allow you to realize who you are. To keep you back from the very thing that exposed him. Take just the first and second pull. Look how it exposed him. Look at how it exposed the devil every time. The devil could hide from the doctors. And you know, there's Reverend Doughty's daughter, yeah? Betty. And she's in bed and they don't know what's going on. And she's such pain and such agony for all that time. And then the prophet gets there. And on the way there, the Lord reveals a vision and shows him what the problem is. And the doctors thought it was her appendix first, thought it was all manner of things. And the prophet gets there and they pray for her. Then he says, what is this? She jumped out of a barn. She jumped onto a door. She tumbled over. She dislocated one of the vertebrae in her back. Then her father turns her over, feels, finds a place, clicks it back in place, and she's back to normal. Amen. Friends, the devil was hiding. Amen. They tried medical science, which has its place. Tried everything they possibly could. But it took the presence of the angel. It took the presence of the angel himself to come into that situation, to unveil and expose the enemy, to show what the answer really was. And how many times would the prophet say that? Satan, you've hidden from the doctors, but you can't hide from the presence of the angel of the Lord. Yeah. Brother Scott was saying it the other day, you try to go and see a specialist, they tell you to come in 56 weeks time. Friends, that's the best medical science can do sometimes. That's when we need to call him on the scene. Amen. That's when we need the personal presence of the covenant angel to come and visit his covenant people in a special way. And then when that visitation takes place, we step in. And all of those things that you and I can't conquer, all of those things that we've just got used to, we allow our medication, we allow all of these kind of things, there comes a time when you realize, I don't need this no more. I don't have to have these things anymore. Why should I? That's what Gideon realized in the presence of the angel. When God sent the angel in such a humble way, he didn't even realize at first it was the angel of the Lord, but it was the angel. But when he made the burnt offering, and the angel touched it, and there was divine vindication, and the angel went up now in the burnt offering, then he realized, I've seen the Lord face to face. And that started such a difference inside of his life. That's why the prophet says, if this woman, he says, this demon knows that if that woman will halfway believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm his prophet, that'll have to leave her. And that demon was calling to that one for help, to accumulate unbelief. But he's lost the battle. Sure he has. Faith is gathering. Now there's always going to be an opposition. You know, under the first pull, when the prophet would bring the people up and take them, their right hand into his left hand. Friends, when that gift ministered by the angel would come in contact with that demonic life, that sickness that was in that individual, there'd be a commotion. His watch would stop. There'd be such a violent agitation now when that divine presence of the angel started to come in contact now with that demonic life, with that evil spirit that had taken possession of an inheritance of a son or a daughter of Abraham. Think of that. Why? Because that demon knew that his time had come. He knew if this person can only half believe, my time has come. Ah, friends, we need more of that. We need more of that. We need a certain gathering of faith. That's why the prophet says, faith has gathered. It says, this demon knows that if she can just half believe in this atmosphere where this faith has gathered. Listen how he continues on. He says, faith is gathering. Then he prays and he says, I lay my hands upon this, my sister. Satan, you evil, selfish, ungodly spirit. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. In a jewel of faith, you're exposed. Oh, friends, when the prophet was standing in the presence, it was a jewel of faith. It's like when they're having a duel and you have the two swords and you're fighting with swords. And then the swords lock on one another. Now it's the strength of the arm holding the sword that's going to prevail. And the prophet knew in the presence of that angel, in the energizing presence of that angel, he knew this jewel of faith is only going to have one outcome. This demon's going to have to leave. He might have played around in that woman's life before. She might have been prayed for by different people. But this time it was different. In the presence of this gathering of faith, in this specific visitation that God's grace had given to them at that time, when the angel of the Lord came down on the platform, friends, things were going to change. Things were going to change. He says, you're exposed. Come out of the woman in Jesus' name. Go in peace, my daughter. May God be with you and bless you. He then says, and at thy word, he says, just have faith now. Believe that God is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You believe that? He says, oh, I see right now. It's her ears. She was deaf, this lady. She's got a deaf spirit on her. Then he prays, Almighty God, author of life, giver of every good gift, send thy blessings upon this woman and heal her. Thou art here, Lord. And this devil knows that his time has come.
Amen.
Amen. Ah, friends, the devil, he knows. There's certain seasons when the devil starts to get nervous. There's certain seasons when he starts to realize something's taking place. There's a certain gathering. There's a certain accumulation of something. He starts to sense it. And friends, wait, you'll see. He starts to kick. He tries his best. How many times do you find it, friends? Even in our own little things. So in the prophet's ministry, the prophet is just starting to preach those things. Somebody falls sick in the audience.
Amen.
And he says, it's just the devil trying to take the attention because he knows if I can get you to believe, his time has come.
Amen.
He knows that. So he wants to bring all frustrations. He wants to bring any fuss, anything that he can to distract you from accumulating that faith.
Amen.
From focusing on that one thing, that jewel of faith. You've declared war against that thing inside of your life. Now you're going to accumulate the faith because now the swords have locked. And he's going to try to do anything that he can to disturb you. Anything that he can to distract you, get you out of the way. Because what is his two-edged sword? Doubt and discouragement. Those are the two things Satan always uses. If he can get you to doubt, or he'll discourage you. He'll discourage you. But genuine faith in the soul of a believer, it'll never be discouraged. It may lay dormant for a season, but it will never be discouraged. It's your natural part that gets discouraged, but it's not your soul. Your soul will never be discouraged. And that's how we just need to allow something to come to quicken us. And we start to commune, like Brother Lobanza says, with our souls. And you let that soul start to speak. Then you start to listen to your soul. And something's going to take place. Something's going to change. He says, this devil knows that his time has come. To this woman, entering into this sphere of faith here. The prophet could feel it in this woman. She's entering into a certain sphere of faith. And once she got into that sphere of faith, she might have been prayed for many times before, but this time it was different. This time she moved into a certain sphere of faith. And the moment she started to move there, the devil knew, my time's come. He knew, I can't stand. He was losing grip. He was letting go. That's how many times those demons would scream out to each other for help. They'd try to accumulate darkness. The prophet says they're trying to accumulate unbelief. Because they realize as the tide of faith starts to rise, they're not going to be there much longer. He says that sphere of faith. He knows that he's got to lose. He can't hold her any longer. Then he says, thou deaf spirit, come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. I charge you to leave the woman. Then he says, can you hear? Do you hear me? Do you hear me say amen? And she repeats it. Then the prophet says, I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it was an accumulation of faith. An accumulation. Now, it's the pull of faith that the prophet speaks about. There's a certain pull. There's a certain rising up of something. Look at the different examples Brother Bosworth gives of just the campaigns they'd been in. He says, one time in the Louisville meeting, while he was praying for the sick on the platform, he felt a steady pull of faith from the audience. And as soon as the pulling ceased, he pointed in that direction and said, a lady right back there has been healed of cancer, and she was. Amen. You see, when the angel was there, yeah, there was a certain sphere of faith. And people would come and they'd be sincere and they'd start moving into a certain realm. Some people would move into that realm. And as they would see the operation of the gift on the platform, they themselves would start to reach out in faith. Their faith would move into a certain realm. They would touch him themselves. Amen. Amen. They would touch the great high priest. How many times does the prophet say it? Who touched him? He says, she never touched me. I'm 40 feet away from her. Who did she touch? She touched the great high priest. Amen. She touched the great covenant angel in whom is the name of Jehovah. She touched now that fountain of healing, that fountain of deliverance. And as her faith, these people's faith got to a certain level, the faith now made contact with that gift in the prophet. Because the angel was working through the gift in him. So that great fountain was now operating through him. So as their faith now would contact, the prophet would start to feel it. The brother Boswell said, I asked Brother, he says, I feel it just as real as you feel someone pulling your coat. It was as real as that. He'd start to feel this pull. So even while he's praying for this person, he'd feel a pull. Something pulling that virtue of the angel. Pulling now the healing virtue. Pulling the delivering virtue. And then it would stop. Then you know, the job's done. There's been deliverance. There's been healing. That person's drawn all the virtue. Drawn all that they need. The job's done. And the person wouldn't even realize many times what they had done. And the prophet would have to turn around and say, you've just been healed. Who did you touch? You touched the great high priest. He's the one that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And his grace now, when he was touched, he would come down in that visitation. And as long as people's faith could move into that sphere of faith. That's how, like we said on Friday, the prophet wouldn't be too quick to just quickly jump into the meetings. Start praying and those kind of things. He'd want to teach the principles of it first. Amen. He'd want to come with the word and show the principles of faith. He'd want to come and show what God said about the things. And then people's faith would start to rise. People would start to get an expectation. People would start to get a hope to say, it doesn't have to stay like this then. Now, why have I accepted this inside of my life? Surely, this situation doesn't have to stay like this. But these promises that I'm reading here, it doesn't have to stay like this. And as that anointed presence would come and God would start to persuade the souls of his sons and his daughters to believe, the prophet says there's a gathering of faith. Faith would start to gather. And he said each night it would start to get deeper. Each night it would start. Then more and more people would start to break into that sphere of faith. Not just the faith for salvation, but that faith for a miracle. That faith for this situation to change there and then. And as they broke into that realm, he says it in the message, Angel of the Lord. I don't have it here, but he says it. He says, the way that I know that somebody has that faith is all of a sudden he says, I have access to that supernatural power. Amen. So as that person's faith would rise up, the prophet now would feel the angel of the Lord would just quicken and energize something in him. Amen. And he would know this person's touched him. Amen. And all of a sudden, all that healing virtue, all that omnipotent power, all that was required to minister to that need and that situation, the prophet would now have access to that. And that now would be channeled into that person. And as it went to that person through the human instrumentality of the prophet, it wasn't the prophet doing it. It was the angel working through the prophet. Through his church. Just as much as the angel had worked through his son. And when now the virtue went forth and that woman came and something in her faith moved into that sphere that said, if I can only just touch his garment, I'll be healed. She knew this situation. I've spent all of my money. I've wasted all of my living on these physicians. It's never made it better. But somehow she heard about Jesus. Somehow she moved into a channel and faith gathered and she moved into a certain sphere of faith. And then Jesus, by his grace, passed by. You see, God working on both hands.
Amen.
Look, God stirring up the expectation of His people. God stirring up faith inside of His people. And sometimes the beginning of it is you've got to get fed up.
Yes.
We saw it on Friday, the prophet says, sometimes you've just got to get upset with these things.
Amen.
You've got to say, it's enough, I'm fed up with this inside
Amen.
Of my life.
Amen.
How long is it going to be that I'm going to complain about this thing? How long am I going to complain at the threshing floor every year to say, but the Midianites are taking away my grain? There's got to come a time that you get fed up with it.
Amen.
To say, look, give me liberty or give me death.
Amen.
Let me rather die trusting in the promises of God.
Amen.
But I do want to give access to the devil anymore.
Amen.
Let him do his worst. I've had enough of this situation now. And once that started, people would start moving. And as the meeting would start to gather, as faith would start to accumulate, the prophet would start to feel that coming from everywhere now. He'd start to feel that access. He says, but I now have access to that supernatural power.
Amen.
But other people, Mr. Critic, Mr. Skeptic, Mrs. Unbeliever, would sit there and feel nothing. Absolutely nothing. While someone would be being healed of sugar diabetes right next to them there and then, they would sit there in their skepticism and their unbelief. And the prophet would warn them every single time. He says, by law I have to warn you. Don't sit here with your unbelief. Because when these demons of epilepsy, when these demons of sickness go out of some, they go into others.
Amen.
They fall into those that got unbelief. We saw it in Zimbabwe once, exactly in church, when I was first a message believer. And there was a demon being cast out of a girl. And as that demon was cast out, we were all standing up worshiping, and then this demon was cast out of this girl. She was a new girl. And this demon went out, and as soon as the demon went out of this girl, I just heard a commotion in front of me. And there was a brother, quite a new brother, he fell backwards over the bench. Boom, 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 boom. And then the pastor and the deacons had to go, and that demon had left that girl and gone into him. And they cast that demon out of that brother, Brother Zimmer. And it went out of him. We had a commotion at the back of the church again. Another person fell. And that's going to cast out of him. And both of those people came to testify afterwards. They were critics. They'd come with a critical spirit. And that demon, when it went out of that girl, it looked around and found Mr. Skeptic and Mr. Critic and went straight into them. And they both became believers after that. But friends, these things are real. They go from one person to another. You must respect. You must have reverence in His presence. These are things. This is the children's bread. This is the things for the covenant sons and the covenant daughters of God. And we have to take off our shoes and approach Him on holy ground on these things if you want to get the benefit from these things. So it says in the Great Fair Park Auditorium at Dallas, Texas, one night. Listen how he says this. This is Brother Bosworth. He says, the orchestra pit was full of stretcher and wheel cases. While Brother Branham was busy praying for those in the healing line, he kept feeling the pull of faith from his right, which finally stopped. When he got through with those he was dealing with, he pointed to a man on a cot in the orchestra pit and said, man, get up, you've been healed for 5 minutes.
Amen.
The man didn't realize his faith, but his faith had granted him access to a place he had never been before with that problem inside of his life. But when he saw what was taking place in that atmosphere, when he had been sharing the word and feeding his faith, and God now brought it to that great evening of the showdown now. When there was a showdown, there was a pull of faith. Because that man believed. He believed the testimony of that man. Now, the amazing thing to me, friends, is in all of these tens of thousands of times in the prayer line, yeah? That the devil had to listen to the prophet would scream out, just like when Jesus himself would come on the scene. Whenever he, being the angel of the Lord made flesh, would come in contact with demoniacs and all those people, those things would cry out. There was a commotion. You could see that the kingdom of darkness is troubled. And those demons would cry out and say, thou Jesus, thou Son of God, do not torment us before the time. And you would have thought the Pharisees and the scribes would have thought, but hey, guys, even the devil is testifying here. Not only is God testifying by these great things that are being done, but even the devil himself is testifying here. But instead they believed the unbelief of their religion. And they were condemned for it. And in this message, friends, you take any of those prayer lines.
That's why I like this article of Brother Bosworth, because he was an eyewitness. It wasn't Brother Branham saying these things, but it was Brother Bosworth just, he wasn't even a message believer in the end, brother. He was in the first and second pull. He never got to the fullness of the message. But he was a real man of God. But his testimony testifies of that. And if the critics and the unbelievers of this message who come and say, this man was a false prophet and that, I wonder, why are the devils screaming out? Why is there such a commotion spiritually wherever this man went? Why is it that the devil would try this and that and those demons would cry out for help and that? If this man was a hypocrite, if there was nothing to these things. That's why the prophet, the angel told him in the cave that day, said, be careful, don't listen to religious people. Don't listen, he says, in the days when Jesus came, the devils were testifying that he was the Son of God. And the religious people were saying he was Beelzebub. You know, let the spiritual world testify itself. Amen. And friends, the spiritual world testifies about this message. You start getting serious about the things of God once again. You start praying, you start feeding your soul on this message of the hour. And start to see how the devil starts to get troubled. Start to see how he starts to lose his grip. Start to see the change that comes about inside of your life. And if you push through, there will be a total deliverance inside of your life. There will be a total deliverance. Yes, yes. That all of those sins, amen, all of those weaknesses, amen, that you couldn't overcome before, you will find those things will lose control, will lose power, and you will have dominion over those things. And that's sufficient testimony in my own life of whether this message is true or not. Because it gives you authority over the devil. It makes Jesus so real. It unveils the devil, shows his program, shows his purposes, shows his lies and his deceit. Friends, no matter the, it's no wonder the devil fights against it. Because that's exactly what the angel does when he comes. He unveils it. The prophet could break through into that realm of the unseen. And he could see in heavenly places. And he could see what people had been praying before they came. He could see what is going to happen to people after they left the meeting. Same time, he could break into that realm of demonology. And he could see spiritual forces. He could tell someone, your name is so-and-so, that's arthritis. Or you got such and such, but the doctors told you it was something else. But thus saith the Lord, this is what it is. Yeah. All those different things. He could break through the realm of the seen into the realm of the unseen because that great presence had come down. And spiritual reality started to become real. And that's what we need inside of our lives, friends. We need spiritual realities once again. We don't want to just be guessing at the things. You know, we don't want to just like probing at the things. There's got to come a time that we look at these things and say, friends, let's wage war against these things now. Let's mount a campaign like the prophet did. Let's put our resources. Let's focus on these things now. Let's give the devil no rest. Let's give him no opportunity. Let's keep the word on him. Let's keep our prayer lives against him. Let's generate the atmosphere that's required. And let's get victory over these things once and for all. Because he only passes by and visits in that way once in a while. It's not every single service you're going to have that kind of a service. But friends, we need that kind of a service. We need to build up to that kind of a deliverance meeting. When he himself can come. We can speak about him, but then he comes and speaks for himself. That's what we want. But we've got to focus our energies on that. You know, let's not get distracted and get involved in other. Let's keep our focus on this for a season. Until we see certain people delivered. Until there's a deliverance, complete deliverance. We just keep focusing. Because he's made the promise, friends. And if there's a deep inside of us desiring it, there's a deep inside of him who put the deep inside of us. He's the one who stirs up the deep inside of us. You know, so that we won't be satisfied with our current situation. We don't want it to be like that. There's things in my life, I don't want them anymore like that. The devil comes in my health and tries to bother me with this and that. I want my foot on his neck. I want to be able to say, this enemy, you will see him no more. That's what I desire, but you need to raise up. No, because I've had people pray for me about different things and that sometimes you heal of things, but there's other things that linger. And you start looking and saying, I'm tired of this thing lingering. I want to wage warfare now. But we need the angel to come and energize and move us into that sphere that we can face up to and say, Satan, you uncircumcised Philistine, Your time has come. You have no right here. This is for the circumcised. You have no place, no right in this place. Friends, we need it. So the prophet will keep feeling this. Now, listen, the next testimony, I like this one here. He speaks about lifting your faith to the healing level. That's what Brother Bosworth is going to speak about, the principle Brother Bram would teach all the time. He says, while praying for those in a healing line in... Okay, I'll skip that. He says, a young woman who was born with her eyes crossed and was attending Bible school in Fort Wayne during the meeting there, said to Mrs. Bosworth, who was at the book stand, I can't see how I can ever get into that healing line. There's so many. Mrs. Bosworth said to her, you won't need to. Just sit back here and ask God to lift your faith to the healing level. Oh, friends, as simple as that. Just sit back here and ask God to lift your faith to the healing level. And you will pull from the gift the healing virtue. She did this. And during the service, Brother Bram stopped, pointed in a direction and said, the young lady way back there was just now healed of crossed eyes. And her eyes have been straight ever since. Since 1950. But it's raising your faith to the healing level. That's the key. Then he gives another example. He says, a young lady was carried into the meeting on a cot, on a stretcher. She was dying of leukemia. Both at Johns Hopkins and at Mayo Clinic, she was told everything possible had been done. There was no hope of her living. Her mind had begun to give away. So Brother Bosworth says, I slipped off the platform to her cot and told her to be praying that God would lift her faith to the healing level. Imagine a woman so far gone. Brother Bosworth goes down to where she is and says, sister, just pray that the Lord will raise your faith to the healing level. So simple. Listen. And then it would either operate the gift or pull Brother Branham down to her. I watched her lips moving in prayer. And all at once, Brother Branham felt the pull of faith. Jumped off the platform, went to her cot, prayed for her and said, in Jesus' name, rise from your cot. Receive divine strength and be well. She obeyed and with hands lifted up with tears of joy and worship flowing down her cheeks, she walked backwards and forwards before the people and up and down the aisles. And her sister told me afterwards, my sister's doing wonderful. Imagine that. It's not a big complicated something, surely, friends. It's just pray, Lord, help my faith to come up to the healing level. Lord, raise my faith up to that level. You have to quicken my faith. You are the covenant angel. You are the covenant God. I'm a child of the covenant. I'm trying to serve you in my covenant land. Now there's an uncircumcised come into the land. Now the Midianites have come in. Something's coming to challenge me in my inheritance. Something's coming to steal my joy. Something's coming to steal my effectiveness. Something's trying to hold me back from being what I'm supposed to be. Lord, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Not because of my good works, not because of my righteousness, but because of the great angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his works, because of his finished work, that he stripped powers. He stripped the principalities. He possessed the gates of the enemy on our behalf. Say, Lord, raise my faith up to that level. Just raise my faith up to that. And friends, it'll do a lot of good to get to listening to some of those early tapes. If you want your faith to be raised. Oh, because the prophet's preaching about the principles of healing. Preaching about the first and second pull. Preaching about demon spirits and germ life and all the challenges of the devil that he brings upon the sons and daughters of God. And he starts to speak about the principles of healing. The promises of healing to the sons and daughters of God. It would be good for us to feed our souls for a season, saints. Good for us to put on that whole armor of God and take out that sword anointed for this particular task, for deliverance from the captives. Because Jesus says, the Spirit is upon me. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. The opening of the eyes of the blind. To set at liberty. Then in the Old Testament it says, them that are prisoners, them that are held captive. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The prophet says every so often there's a year of jubilee.
Yes. Yes.
When God sounds the jubilee trumpet. Friends, it's not us that can do it. We need Him to sound the jubilee trumpet to us. We need Him to blow that trumpet, and that anybody has ears to hear at that season knows, I can lay down my hoe. I can lay down my shovel. I don't have to work for this taskmaster no more, because the day of jubilee has come. Remember, he gives the testimony about the Emancipation Proclamation when the slaves were set free by Abraham Lincoln, 1865. And he says, and those people work and they knew at sunrise, the next morning they were free. He says, and the people started climbing the highest hill that they could, because they wanted to be the first ones to see the rising of the sun. Oh, friends, we need to be climbing some hills. We need people to be going up to see, I know at the rising of the sun, this situation's going to change. It's not going to be like this no more. But we've got to have an expectation. We've got to have a determination. For us to possess the gate of the enemy, friend, that enemy's been entrenched there for some time. When you tell him, get out of here, he's not just going to go immediately. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to resist that enemy. You're going to have to allow your faith to get to a certain place until you come to the breaking point. There's a certain place that you break through the sound barrier spiritually. There'll be a resistance against you. You'll be wrestling with something. You'll be fighting against something. You'll be feeding your faith. You'll be praying earnestly. You'll be seeking the face of God. But there's a resistance. There's a darkness that is against you. But all of a sudden, there comes a certain place where it breaks. And the prophet says, you have 100 miles of elbow room now. And he set the captives free. And although your body will only catch up with your testimony maybe down the way, but you know inside of yourself, this situation is over. This situation is finished. He has granted me grace to prevail over this enemy. I now have my foot upon the neck of this enemy. Our friends, but he fights. And he fusses and he lies and he tries to bring his deception and tries to anoint people around you to bring all kind of negative testimony of the things that you're trying to do. I remember once being prayed for back home for something when I had high blood pressure, and the Lord really healed me of it. It was the grace of God. And oh, how people would say to you, you stop taking those tablets, you'll have a stroke. I know my boss at work stopped taking the tablets and had a stroke and died in his office. People would testify like that to you. But it's the devil.
Right.
It's the devil. You can't manufacture. But if there's something persuading your soul to believe, if there's something that's telling you now is the season, it doesn't have to be like this anymore. You can't lead yourself into it. No, you can't go by psychology. You can't go just by your own human zeal into it. There's got to be yielding yourself to His leadership. That you know His season has come. His visitation has come. It's my time now. Just as much as all of these people could feel it. And how do you feel it? Because when your faith reaches a certain place and touches Him, and when you touch Him, He answers back. You know there's a divine something that comes back to you. Because you've broken into a certain spiritual channel. And the prophet says, you know it when you get there.
Amen.
You know that channel. You know what you said, but now this is what he was speaking about. You break into a certain realm like these people did, where now all of a sudden you have access to that supernatural power. All of a sudden there's something that's coming back to bear witness of what you're testifying of. Oh, friends, and the prophet, he had that gift. He could feel it. He could feel that person's broken into that channel. And now the supernatural is ministering back to them. It's not them just seeking and worshiping the supernatural, but they've raised up to a certain place. Now the supernatural is ministering back to them. And he could feel that virtue going, feel the virtue, then it would stop. Then he'd say, the Lord's healed you. Get up, you were healed 5 minutes ago. You don't have to lie there anymore. Take up your bed and walk. That's the way that it always was. Now, as we come to a close, we need, there's several things we can do. We'll just start on this. If you really want to encourage that atmosphere, if you want to encourage that faith inside of your life, you know, if you want things to move just beyond the blessings of the Lord, and you want it to move to the manifest presence of the Lord, because that's the difference. That's what the angel does. Instead of just having the prophet says the blessings of the Lord, all of a sudden something comes and there's the manifest presence of God. There's certain things that we need to do. Now, In the message, make the valley full of ditches. It just follows on from the last point. Just right at the beginning, paragraph 2, he says, a while ago, there was a minister drove in close to where I'm staying. He introduced himself that he prays for the sick also. And he had a case of a sick girl and she was awful bad. And I said, slip on up, brother, into the meeting. They may give out cards today. And he said, Brother Branham, we don't want a prayer card. We just want to watch. Amen. It's the inspiration of the Lord that brings us up to the healing. And the prophet said, that man's right. He's got the idea. That's just what it takes. It's the inspiration of it that brings you up to that place where you see what God's doing and that His presence is there. My, that man, he said, I just want to sit in the meeting and I just want to get in that atmosphere and I just want to see and I just want that inspiration to raise my faith up and there's going to be deliverance for this girl. And that's how it is. That's how it is. Ah, friends, but you've got to accumulate faith. You've got to accumulate the prophecies. You've got to appropriate faith. You've got to allow it to build. That's why it says, don't allow the enemy to come and pull it down in the middle of the week. Keep feeding your faith. Keep feeding your testimony. Keep in prayer. The prayerful atmosphere, Satan has very little elbow room in a prayerful atmosphere. He doesn't have much opportunity to speak to your mind when you're in the Spirit. When you're feeding on the Word, when you're feeding on the message of the hour. Friends, it's preparing yourself. It's putting on that armor. Bringing yourself, equipping yourself for that final great showdown. That great showdown. Now he continues in this message and he says, now, do you know that God goes in certain places and then He'll be somewhere else and He'll be somewhere else? So He's speaking not about just the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, this is speaking about your season of visitation.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's saying, do you know that God, He goes one place and He goes another, then He goes somewhere else. He says, did you know that? He says, I didn't hear very many amens, but that's the truth. He says, and the presence of the Lord was there to heal the people.
Yes.
He quotes that scripture. Then he quotes, is that right? He says, and the Lord met Moses in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, when the pillar of fire there was with Moses, he wasn't with anybody else at that time.
Amen.
Now he's broken himself up on the day of Pentecost. You understand that principle. But there's still the presence of the angel.
Amen.
Oh, friends, and it takes something for him to pass your way.
Yes.
For that kind of a visitation. You know, it takes the covenant people of God to cry out to the covenant of God. Like it was in Exodus 2, Exodus chapter 3. For Him to come down and say, I've heard the cries of my people and I've come down. So it continues on. And the Lord met Moses. And remember, He met him in the way and he went down. Then he continues on. Now let's look at this final thing as we close. He speaks of that story of Grace Weber. Remember, Brother Nanda spoke of it, but we'll just take it in another sort of way. He says, so he's spoken about the presence of God being in certain places at certain times. And now he's going to show us just how important it is to reverence. Just how important is what do we say at those kind of times. What is our respect? What is our reverence? What is our approach? Because that's going to determine what happens when his angel is near. That's going to determine it. He says, a lady in my church, Mrs. Weber, she was dying with TB in the sanatorium, last stages. They sent her home to die. Said there was nothing could be done for her. She lived just beyond the tabernacle and had 5 or 6 little children. So the angel of the Lord came to me that night and said, go tell Mr. Weber, he says rather, to get things ready. For he's going to be left with those children on his hands. For his wife's going. So I went and told Mr. Weber. I told his girl, Jean Rose, young lady now, 7 years ago. I said, now Jeannie, your mother's going to die. She can't live a little while longer. 2 days after, or 3, there were some ladies from the government depot there. You see, the critics will always be there. No, when you're trying to accumulate that faith, there's always going to be a Mr. Critic, Mr. Skeptic, who's not going to believe this message and they're not going to be far from you. And you've got to be careful you don't listen to them because you can forsake your own mercies at those kind of times. Some ladies from the government depot was there where she worked. And Mrs. Weber said, if I could only have Brother Bill to pray for me once more. I saw where my cousin Opal was healed with that cancer. And the doctors had given her up just on warning to live. And the girls from out at the government where she worked with her said, there ain't nothing to that guy. There ain't nothing to that guy. Said he's nothing but a hypocrite. That's all that religion is a bunch of fake fanaticism. But Mrs. Weber said, look, I'm a dying. Yeah? And I know Amen. That. But I won't stand still for that. Amen. Should I know better than that? I've lived right here around the city, around that man all the time. I've seen him from a child grown up. You can call it fake if you want to. But I've just seen so much. Seen God heal the people. And I know the man's life and I know it's the truth. My, what a testimony. Now she didn't realize the angel of the Lord was near. And that the angel of the Lord heard what she said. She didn't realize. She thought, well, I'm going to die. And it happened to be that the angel of the Lord heard that. And that very night, sitting on the side of my chair in the room, I got up, got a drink of water, 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on a chair. I seen him come walking through the door. And he said, tomorrow is Sunday. They're going to pick Miss Weber up and bring her down. She'll be sitting on the right-hand side, far back in the tabernacle. Said, I heard her. Amen. And tell her I heard her. Amen. And what she said. Amen. And tell her, thus saith the Lord, she'll live and not die. Amen. Oh my. She'll live and not die. Amen. There you are. The prophet says, you can go down and see her if you'd like to. Been about 7 years ago, you see, his presence was there. When she was taking up for what was right.
Amen.
His presence was there and he found her. Amen. And he had respect to her because she had respect to what was representing God.
Amen.
Oh, friends, I'd say if you respect this church. If we respect one another, respect the offices of this church, respect the order of this church, he will respect you. The prophet wasn't a perfect man, friends. He had his mistakes like you and I, good days and bad. But she respected what represented God. What represented God to her. Because she respected what represented God. God respected her. And God sent his angel to the prophet and said, you need to use this gift and tell her, thus saith the Lord, she's going to live, she's not going to die. He had respect to her. Because she had respect to what was representing God. So God will do the same thing for you. God will do the same thing for you. Let's be careful what we say about each other, friends. Let's be careful about gossip and criticism and foolish things that we say. Let's be careful what we say in our discouragement and our disappointment. Because you're pushing your deliverance further and further away. But if you can rather go and pray about those things, get yourself in the spirit of worship once again. Appreciate what it is that God has done for you. Ah, friends, you're going to bring your deliverance closer and closer. Until, like Sister Hattie, maybe you're just going to say the right thing. And the angel's going to be there. And it's going to say to the prophet, use your gift. And with that gift in you, she tells you what you want. You speak what she wants. It'll be delivered to her. Got to say the right things, friends. Be careful what you say. Be careful of the spirit of criticism. It's darkness, friends. Criticism is the kingdom of darkness. If these things you don't agree with someone, go and sit with them in the coolness of things. Don't tell anybody else. You go and sit with them. Go and iron it out with them. If they don't want to listen, take somebody else. Take it the Bible way. But criticism is the enemy of what we're speaking about, friends. It needs a certain atmosphere. And the more we can unite ourselves around this common purpose, around this common aim and objective at this time to say, saints, we want to see total deliverance in this place. We want to see him fulfill his word in every situation that we have. But it needs all of us to come together. It needs us to unite ourselves around this common goal. And friends, it's going to be a lot easier if we do it like that. A lot easier if we do it like that. So the prophet says, God will do the same thing for you. Now, he says, not to respect me, he says, but to respect him, Christ, who died for your healing. If you just give respects to him and his word, God will do the work for you.
Yes.
Yeah, you keep his side, you do his work, and he's going to do yours. He's going to keep your side.
Amen.
And we'll finish with this one from God's covenant with Abraham. He says, now, speaking about the people that were behind him, the ministers behind him. Now, the prophet had been trying to get into this atmosphere. This is 1956, God's covenant with Abraham. And had been taking some meetings, but trying to bring it to a certain place that he could really felt to have the prayer line. And he could feel certain people getting impatient and certain people, you know, they wanted, why is it taking so long and so forth. And he says, now, the obedience of this loyal bunch of ministers sitting behind me. Each night since being here, I'm tired and weary. I've been preaching. I've had to wait for the coming of the angel of the Lord. He says, you all know that down, don't you? But he's here right now. And then he catches the thread. He says, that woman has already made contact with the Holy Spirit standing right there. Because it's between her and I right now. Isn't that wonderful? He says, obedience. Respect. Oh, friends. She was humble. She would say, now look the example now. He kicks in to show us the example. He says, what if Martha would have run up to Jesus and said, why, you hypocrite, why didn't you come when we called for you? We'll go back to the synagogue. She's putting it as an example. He's saying, we've been praying and trying to prepare the way so that the angel would come. He says, and there's certain people that have had the attitude like Martha. So why is he taking so long? No, if God is God, why doesn't he heal me now? They didn't understand those spiritual principles. And he says, if Martha had have taken that attitude, she would have got nothing from Jesus.
Amen.
But look at the attitude we need to take. We need to be like Martha.
Amen.
Friends, he has his time.
Yes.
He is sovereign. He has his time.
Amen.
We don't set the time. He sets the time.
Amen.
He knows your need. He knows my need. But he's not everywhere at the same time.
Yes.
He has his seasons of visitation.
Yes.
He knows how to coordinate these things.
Amen.
He knows how to come at exactly the time that we need him.
Amen.
To come at exactly the time that you prepared ourselves for him to come.
Yes.
But like Martha, she realized, I don't understand why. I've prayed to him. I've sent for him. I've told him the desperation of the need that I have. That Lazarus, the one that he loves, is sick.
Amen.
But he doesn't even answer a word. He hasn't answered. I mean, Jesus gets a message, he goes further away, another day's journey. Oh, friends, we've got to be careful about our attitude.
Amen.
He's a dove. The prophet says, the angel of the Lord, he's a gentleman.
Yes.
We can so easily grieve him.
Amen.
Just maybe he's wanting to draw nigh, he's wanting to activate the fullness of the covenant blessing to meet whatever need that you've got. But friends, we need to approach this the right way. And that's how I wanted to speak about it a little bit, a few services first, to say, since we'd like to have a deliverance meeting. We don't know when it's going to be, how it's going to be. That's determined on us.
Yes.
Coming together to prepare ourselves for it. And we'll all know the right time. We'll all know now's the time. The angels troubled the water. Let's step in now. But we've got to unite together. We've got to be together in this, friends. And like we said on Friday, if you've got the Babylonian garment and the gold wedge under your tent, you're going to hinder this whole church.
Amen.
It says, don't you know that your unconfessed sins can cause this entire church to utterly fail?
Amen.
It says, we'll bring the sick up before us, we'll pray for them, they won't be healed. And it says, you'll be accountable on that day.
Amen.
That's why, friends, we need to put everything under the blood.
Amen.
We need to put our own reasonings, our own human understandings under the blood. You've got to seek him, come before him, wait upon him. He says, when you bring the sick before you and they're not healed, call a fast.
Yes.
Humble yourselves, and these are the promises that he's given to us.
Amen.
Unite yourselves together.
Amen.
Get your focus, get your resources focused the right way. Unite. Push in the same direction, and friends, it can be as simple as that woman lying on the cot.
Amen.
She didn't have to do a lot of things. Obviously, the Lord had been preparing up to there when she came and lay there that day. She just didn't even, you couldn't even hear the word she said from her lips. But that touched the great high priest. Oh, and that supernatural power now all of a sudden ministered to the prophet. He jumped down from there, came down and said, rise to your feet. Can be like that, friends.
Amen.
But we can't do it. He's the one that does it. And we've got to respect him, friends. We've got to be careful what we say. We've got to be careful the way that we walk. We've got to take off our shoes. We've got to come in obedience. We've got to come in humility. We've got to come the right kind of a way. He says, imagine if Martha would have run up and said, "You hypocrite." The miracle would never have happened. But she approached him reverently. Now that sounds easy, but imagine you put yourself in her shoes. Imagine when you feel disappointed by the Lord. You say, "Lord, I've done all of these things for you. I've tried to work all these years to be faithful. I've had this need for a long time, but you've never ever even manifest yourself in my need." Many of us are in that situation today. You're in that situation, but be careful of your attitude. Friends, he owes you nothing. He owes me nothing. Anything we receive, it's by grace. It's grace that has to bring it to us. He's the covenant angel. It's a covenant of grace. It's his goodness that's going to bring it to us. Not that we deserve anything. And if we can just humble ourselves, take him at his word, friends, it's amazing grace. That's what we're trusting in for these things. It's not on our own power. It's not on our own ability. We've got to be like Martha. No matter what she had been through, she still believed Jesus was right. No matter what you've been through, no matter the years of affliction you've had, no matter the years of frustration that you've had, no matter the years of oppression, no matter how many times you've been prayed for, let me tell you one thing, Jesus is right. These things I don't understand in my own life. Why, Lord, won't you answer this? Why, Lord, won't... But the only thing I know is he's right. He's right. He's sovereign. He knows better than me. He knows the right time. He knows the right season. He knows how to get the maximum virtue out of any situation. Like he did with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He knew to bring it to that place because now they've been testifying of him. Now he was going to testify about them. And that's why he had to bring it to that situation. But he knows. So let's keep our attitudes right, friends. Let's look at our unanswered prayers and know that, God, you know what you're doing. And let's raise our faith up to that level so that it's not our faith that's hindering him from working, but we're just waiting upon the sovereignty of God, the great high priest who's touched by the feelings of infirmities, that he can come down. To finish, he says, that miracle would never have happened, but she approached him reverently. She said, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now." Let's not worry about the past. I don't understand that, Lord. I don't need to understand that. The only thing I need to understand is you're here now. And even now you can change the situation. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't think too much about the past. Don't let your past hold you back from your future. You come to the stage and say, "Lord, it doesn't matter all these things. You're here now. The situation can change. You hear now, even now, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you." You see, that's what she was supposed to do. She contacted with reverence. Oh, friends. She contacted with reverence. Not like the soldiers who put a rag over his face, hit him with a stick and said, "Say, you're a prophesier, tell us who hit you. See, tell me who hit you." He didn't get nothing. Neither will anybody else that comes criticizing. But those who come reverent. Then he looks at the ministers like those brethren. A few minutes ago, you'll get something from God. Ah, oh, friends, I believe that. I believe that. I'll read one more quote just to finish. From John 17, Jesus said, these words spoke Jesus. Lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that your Son may glorify thee." And the prophet preaches the message, the hour has come. Don't you feel that the hour has come? Don't you feel about some of these things in our lives? The hour has come. The time has come. The hour has come. Let's walk reverently. If the hour has come, it's going to declare itself. And the message, the hour has come, it says, now Jesus here was speaking. He said, "Father, the time has come. Now there's seasons for everything." Do you believe that? You sow in a certain season. You reap in a certain season. There's seasons when the time comes that's right for those things to happen. Amen. Amen, friends. I would say, saints, the hour has come. Amen. The hour has come. Let's tell the devil the hour has come. When we pray now, let's tell the devil, Satan, the hour has come. You've had your season. You've been squatting in my inheritance for too long. But now the hour has come. And let's follow it up, friends. Let's unite ourselves in prayer. Let's unite ourselves in fellowship. Let's unite our resources together, those that can sing. Let's put our singing resources to minister the resource to the saints. Those that are given to preaching, let's preach so that the sword of the Spirit is sharp. So that we come to a time that we can say, the hour did come. And that we can look back, friends, and then we have a testimony meeting of what God has done. And we can worship Him. And the prophet says, and after these meetings, he says, you'll find people, he said to the pastors, for months to come. People are going to come to you next month and month after and say, Pastor, I used to have this problem, but I don't have it anymore. He says, that's what the visitation of the angel does. And that's what we desire. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to worship. Let's sing one song. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's keep our focus on the saints. Let's really pray. I really feel inside of myself, if the Lord would guide us in this. We don't want to rush ahead. We don't want to jump in our own human zeal. But we want Him to go before. So we want to just bring our souls before Him reverently. We want to come and approach Him in prayer. We want to seek Him with earnestness that He may lead us in these things. Let's sing one song and then we'll enter into a time of prayer. If you have one there, brother George. Let's sing that one. Let's sing a Father of Life seated on the throne of Christ.
We end up back.
cry out his name, El Shaddai Adonai, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the by his grace he said, let's seek his face. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord.
One day, brothers. In this season, saints, let's sing that song. Now's my time of consecration. But there's certain seasons where you realize that, like with Samson, there's a possibility.
Amen.
And you realize there's a possibility now. And those sort of seasons, you need to press it. Now you need to be like Bartimaeus. You need to cast aside certain things and pay no attention to other things, because maybe the season has come and you can sense it inside of yourself. So let's consecrate ourselves, especially people seeking for a breakthrough on something. Let's really, really walk sensitive before the Lord. Let's seek Him. Let's lay aside food and drink. Let's seek His face. Let's consecrate ourselves and wait upon Him.
In His word, you make us whole. Now it's time for it to happen. That the old ocean of heaven, it will make and bring to pass a tremendous victory on the earth.
Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. Don't let him get entrenched. Don't let him pitch his camp. If he's pitched his camp, it's time now to get him on the run. And when you've got him on the run, keep him on the run until you possess the fullness of your inheritance once again. Let's keep the devil on the run.
Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. Some of them must not be telling you. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. The son of God must not be challenged, so kick him down. Arise and shine, King Theophany has come. Let's go to his ancient kingdom.
Hallelujah!
Will the Lord raise his name and be garrison?
Son of God must not be troubled,
friends, let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's gird up our loins once again. Let's make sure that the sword. Now, I always used to like the song that Michael Carter sang, on this battlefield, there's no rusty swords.
Amen.
No, to a believer, your sword is never rusty. It's a fight. We're called to fight. We soldiers, friends, we fight now right to the end. Then we inherit our rest. But there's certain seasons we need to rise up. We need to come up higher. There's certain times the Philistines have taken our inheritance. We need to cling to the sword even closer until it sticks in the hand, if that's what it's going to take. But we can't allow the devil to have his way. Let's sing that song one more. Let's sing that one. And when the battle's over, we will wear a crown.
Yeah!
your need before the Lord now. He knows your need. He knows your name. He knows your every thought. He sees each tear that falls.
Amen.
He knows why you are where you are. And he has the answer. Because he is the answer. Thomas asked him and said, Lord, how will we know the way? He said, I am the way. When Martha said, I know he'll come up in the great resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Friends, he's the answer. Let's draw nigh unto him. Not just with our lips, but with our hearts.
Amen.
Let's commit ourselves into his
hands. Hallelujah.
He's the master of the wind. Ah, he knows how to still the storm. He's Jesus in the boat. Oh, he's the captain of your salvation. He's the great 5-star general that Joshua met.
Amen.
Our friends, the prophet says when Isaiah spoke of him, he said he is the father. He's the counselor. He says, and he couldn't find words anymore. He said he's just wonderful. And that's what he is, friends. Let's draw nigh unto him. If you have a desire before the Lord, why not raise your hand? Maybe you need deliverance from sin. He bore your sins upon the tree. He paid the price for your sins at Calvary. He bore the pain. He bore the suffering. He bore the shame. Whatever our needs, let's put them before the Lord. May the Lord grant us grace this day. Father, we are such a needy people, Lord. Father, but we are your people. Amen. And that's why, Lord, as David said, the Lord Amen. Is my shepherd. Amen. Oh, how glad that he was that you were his shepherd. Amen. We see these other shepherds in this world. We see these false gods. Father, we see all these things, but we're so glad that you are a shepherd. Amen. And Father, we're glad that your rod and your staff, they comfort us, Lord. Father, guide us by your staff. But Lord, at this season, we're looking for you to manifest your rod on behalf of your sheep, Lord. Father, we're looking to you, Lord, Father, to show yourself as the Lord of hosts. Father, the God of the armies of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Father, we're calling on the scene as the captain of the host of the Lord. Father, we're calling Jesus on the scene. The master of the wind that can Amen. Speak to any situation Amen. And can still the storm. Yes. Father, we're calling Jesus on the scene. Father, we're so glad for the things that you have done. We're so glad for your goodness unto your sons and your daughters, Lord. We're so glad for the things of the past. But Father, all those things have done for us is give us an expectation. Because we know that there's more. Father, we know that your hand is not short that it cannot save. We know that your ear is not deaf that it cannot hear. But Father, we're just bringing ourselves unto thee in this season. Father, our souls would persuade us that the hour has come. So Father, we would say, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your people, that your people may glorify you. Manifest yourself strong. And Father, we say unto the evil one that the hour has come. The hour has come, Father. We serve him notice upon this day. Father, we come, Lord, with a title deed upon this day. And we serve him notice. And we say, Satan, no more. No more. We will not be at the threshing floor any longer. But Father, we yield ourselves unto thee. Father, lead us, Lord, that you may possess the fullness of our inheritance at this time, Lord. Father, glorify yourself in the midst of your people. Amen. Father, persuade our hearts to believe, Lord. Father, visit us and speak unto us and fellowship with us, Lord. And tune us to the place Amen. That you want us to be, Lord. And Father, we look to you. Because Father, you are the solution. You are the answer. You are the way. And Father, we commit every need of every one of your people upon this day into your hands, Lord. Some are seeking for finance, Lord. Some are seeking for healing, Lord. Some are seeking, Lord, for answers. Some are seeking for open doors. Father, you are the answer. We commit every one of these needs into your hands, Lord. Bless your people upon this day, we pray. And Father, as we dismiss, as we go our different ways, Lord, help us at this season, Lord. Help us draw near unto us, Lord. Father, persuade us, Lord. Shepherd us as a great shepherd of the flock, Lord. bring us safely into the haven of rest is our desire. And Father, we'll give you the glory. Bless them and heaven managed to come upon this day. Be with them, Lord, we pray. You know where they are. We commit them into thine hands, Lord. Speak unto them, Lord, we pray. Father, give us traveling mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless. Let's sing one more, saints, as we dismiss in Jesus' name.